again. Oh, yes. Hello, and welcome to the final episode of this series of Twitatin. But don't cry, my pretties, for all things must come to an end. Nothing can go on for infinity, not even the universe. Though, if the universe does fall within finite boundaries, then what lies beyond where the universe stops? And then if that thing has boundaries, what lies beyond those boundaries? And what lies beyond whatever is beyond that? Wow, it must end at some point, though, but it can't, but it must, but it can't. Wow, I've just blown my own mind. So, at least I've had something blown during this series. Damn Wogan for bagging all the Radio 2 groupies. As always, we're joined by our competent house band, Christian Riley and the King's Ogs of Albania.
Is more to the point in this case.
That is not fair, Christ. That's not... Don't applaud that. This show gets no worse than mediocre and sometimes rises to the heights of quite good. Matthew Wright said that about us, Christian, when he heard one of our trails. Yes. And would Matthew Wright like something that was worse than mediocre?
No. It would have to be at least mediocre to get the Matthew Wright seal of approval.
That is right. And you're just well gel anyway, because I've impregnated my wife, TV's Emma Kennedy, and now you're not the only one in the world who can go on and on about what it's like having a baby.
Yeah, you impregnated her without having any physical contact with her.
Yeah, that's right, I did. That's how fecund I am, Christ. I just have to look at a lady and sprogs are popping out of her like scabies. Watch out.
Which I don't like to see you making a fool of yourself. There's something I've got to tell you. You see, me and TV's Emma Kennedy...
I've had it with you, Christian. You're not here to talk, all right? You are just a music monkey, all right? You're a guitar gibbon. You're an amp ape. Do your funny songs and leave the proper comedy to me and the grown-ups over here, all right? So, you organ orangutan. That's like a musical organ, so that still works.
Are you being like this because I knocked you back when you came on to me after the after-show drinks last week?
No, I'm not. And that didn't happen. I am not gay. I'm married to a woman.
Who you never have sex with.
I don't see that that's relevant. Gay men don't marry women, Christ.
Yeah, apart from Elton John, Cary Grant, Tom...
I'm not seduced by your true facts, Christian. You're making outrageous, fabricated allegations of sexual harassment because you think that only handsome, talented, popular people should be allowed to breed. Then I come along and show you how wrong you are, make you look like an idiot.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, Rich. You haven't.
And in any case, I've given you three series of work on this show, and I think that deserves a little sugar, if you know what I'm talking about. Anyone else would have shown their gratitude in the proper manner, but you've just winky-teased me to further your own career, you harpsichord howler monkey.
Whatever.
I don't have time for this anymore, Christian. I have to think of my unborn child, and to keep him in baby food and nappies, I have to do my job, which is to satirise the events of the week of the 13th to 19th of January inclusive to the slight satisfaction of Matthew Wright. Okay, you bongo bonobo.
Whatever.
Mitch Benn would have put out years ago. On the 15th of January, 1559, Elizabeth I was crowned Queen of England. Elizabeth, it is claimed, never had sexual relations in her life, even though she lived to 69 years old. Her death was a blow to William Shakespeare, who'd been working on a play called 70-Year-Old Virgin, which... consequently never got produced. Historians will tell you that the Elizabethan cult of virginity was created by Elizabeth herself, but no one could possibly be proud to be an old, old virgin. Here's what really happened.
That was then, this is now.
What really happened?
Fancy a potato, Drake?
No thanks, Raleigh. Trying to give them up. I'll have some tobacco, though.
Bacon?
Oh, that'd be lovely.
No, I was offering bacon and a potato.
No, thanks. And I would prefer if you two went outside to eat your potatoes. Ooh, watch out. Virgin alert. Here she comes.
Virgin.
Get it, get out of your system. Shift.
Pray silence for Queen Elizabeth of England.
I've gathered you noblemen together to discuss a persistent rumour that has been blighting my reign.
Virgin.
What was that, Drake?
I'm Raleigh.
Oh, sorry, I always get you two mixed up. What did you say?
Nothing.
Good, because I know what people are saying about me behind my back.
They only say you are a wonderful monarch, Your Majesty. If you think anything else, then I'm afraid you are just virgin on paranoia.
Nice one, Drake.
The world loves you, Your Majesty. The Americans have just named one of their new territories after you.
Oh, really?
No, it's pronounced Raleigh.
So... this state Elizabethia, have they?
Not exactly. It's called Virginia. But it's meant in a nice way.
Yeah. It's kind of a compliment.
Oh, it's all anyone goes on about me being a virgin. I mean, I wouldn't mind, but it isn't even true.
Oh.
So I've decided to put an end to this libel by giving myself a new title. Queen Elizabeth, the Sexually Experienced Queen. That'll shut them up.
Are you sure that's a good idea, Your Majesty?
Well, I was toying with Elizabeth, the slutty queen, but I didn't want to look too easy.
Come off it. No one's going to buy that. Everyone knows you haven't even got to base one in 7 decades of trying.
I have. I've done it with loads of blokes.
Ooh. Like who?
Well, there's so many that it's hard to even think where to start.
Oh, she hasn't.
Just one name.
Thomas Seymour!
Oh, yeah, you went all the way with him, did you? Because most people reckon you just indulged in horseplay.
No, we did the lot. We did sex, bonking, all of it.
Full sex?
Yes, he put his bare finger right in my belly button and everything. I was lucky not to get pregnant.
That's not sex.
Yes, I know. That was just the start. I'm not a virgin. I'm not. I know I have the body of a weak and feeble woman.
A weak and feeble virgin.
But I have the heart and... I have the heart and stomach of a king.
More like the clacker of a virgin that's healed up due to lack of use.
Nice one, Francis.
Thanks, Francis.
High five!
Yes.
It's just really difficult for me to meet men. I'm in a position of authority. A lot of men are intimidated by powerful women.
Maybe, or maybe it's because you're a bad-tempered, bald, black, twofold woman.
I'm never going to break my duck. All that people will remember about me is that I'm a virgin. How embarrassing. One of you is going to have to do me. Bacon?
Oh, not me. I have to go and write another play for Shakespeare to pretend it's one of his.
Drake?
Sorry, I've just heard another Armada's coming. I've got a bowls match. It's a doubleheader, so to speak.
Ooh, how about you, Raleigh? I've heard all about your chopper.
All right, I'll take one for the team, as long as I can put my cloak over your head.
Well, providing I finally get some, I'll do anything. Then no one will be able to call me the Virgin Queen. Here, baby, do it to me that way.
But afterwards, Raleigh was ashamed of what he'd done and told his mates he'd never touched her. And the reason his cloak was all messy and stained was that he'd put it over a puddle or something. So Elizabeth was still labelled the Virgin Queen, and that's what really happened.
That was then, this is now.
What really happened?
Now please give a lukewarm welcome to the house band. It's time to go over to Christian Riley and the King's Ogs of Albania.
Thank you. This week in January 1920, prohibition became law in the United States. It was repealed a few years later, and America has been acting like a drunk in a bar ever since. I think it's the duty of a close personal friend like Great Britain to say something. This song is called America Goes to an AA Meeting. Well, hello, everybody. I guess I'm surprised to be standing here. Well, my name is Uncle Sam.
Hello, Sam.
I've been an alcoholic for 70 years. Thanks for that round of applause. I really need your support. You see, I keep making stupid mistakes. I got a flatulence problem in New Orleans, and my west side keeps getting the shakes. Where to start? Well, it's so hard. I was riding high back in 29, of course. Then I lost all my money. Let me tell you, buddy, you can never trust a horse. Yeah, well, then I got depressed. Maybe you know the rest. I guess you're never as strong as you think. My constitution's been crumbling since I reached for that bottle beneath the sink. There were times it was fun. I mean, I really swung. But you get tired of waking up in a strange bed with anyone from Augusto Pinochet to Saddam Hussein. They all come back to haunt you in the end. The booze made me loud and rude. I got fat on junk food. I got dumber and I let myself go. I was so out of it in the 80s. I had to let an actor and his wife run the show. Now my vision is blurred and my speech is slurred, and I'm always spoiling for a fight. 'Cause everyone's looking at me funny, or they're all after my money. I think Iran is about to spill my pint. My best friend says he'll stand shoulder to shoulder, but he's getting tired of having to apologize. Well, thanks for your time. Guess I'll say goodbye. I guess that it's time I took my leave. Oh, don't worry, I'll be fine. I promise I won't drink and drive, 'cause I've given Florida the keys.
Christian Riley and the King's Ox of Albania. All right, Christian, you bassoon baboon.
I have never played a bassoon.
So you admit you're a baboon, though, do you? Got you. I've made you look a right idiot.
Hey, listen, if you don't let me tell you what I have to tell you, then it's
you who's going to... Shut up, all right, shut up. On the 13th of January 2004, serial-killing Dr. Harold Shipman committed suicide in his cell just one day before his 58th birthday. How disappointing for all his cellmates who'd really been looking forward to the party. It's just thoughtless. I don't have a good word to say about Harold Shipman. It's really disappointed in him. Do you think it's just a coincidence he killed himself before his birthday? Or do you think he was thinking, well, getting a bit old, wouldn't want to be hypocritical? On the 17th of January 1983, breakfast television started. Remember that in the old days when it wasn't TV 24 hours a day? How did we cope with that? It was the first time there'd ever been TV in the morning. That first show was presented by Selena Scott and Frank Boff, who some of the older listeners may remember. The young ones won't know. He got kind of sacked in the end because of this sex and drug scandal he was involved in, which just goes to prove the old adage, too many cokes spoil the boff. And I never thought I'd get a chance to reuse that joke. I'd wrote it when I was a student, and, you know, it's nice to get it back, really. It's nice to see it again. I love this show. On the 15th of January 2001, Wikipedia went online for the first time, which, if nothing else, has proven to be an invaluable tool for writing history-based sketch shows about what happened this week in history, because there are pages on there you can visit where, conveniently, they list all the things that happened on any particular date. So for a little behind-the-scenes fun, see what my life is like at home, why not get on your computer right now, OK? Type in http://en.wikipedia.org/wiki/January_15, right? You're there. Scroll down to 2001. Look, there's the news item we're talking about, the creation of Wikipedia. That's where I got the idea from. We're postmodern, isn't it? Then it's like we're being all interactive, like press your red button, but on the radio, it's exciting. Then, actually, why not scroll down a bit further to the deaths of that date? And you'll see that according to this infallible source, apparently, Osama bin Laden, the head of Al-Qaeda, died on January the 15th, 1953.
Look quickly before some overzealous and humorless nerd changes it. I promise it's there. January the 15th, 1953. That is actually over 4 years before Bin Laden was born. But I can't countenance that Wikipedia's got such an important event wrong, so maybe this explains why the wily terrorist is so hard to catch. He's actually got a time machine, and after every atrocity he commits, he can jump in it and go and hide in the past, a bit like in Jean-Claude Van Damme's film The Time Cop, or sort of evil version of Quantum Leap. Presumably Bin Laden finally comes unstuck somewhere back in 1953, perhaps in some Back to the Future style mishap where he begins dating his own mother and then wipes himself from existence. Though I think it's irresponsible for Wikipedia to reveal this information, as if Osama himself stumbles across it, he will make sure he never visits the date of his own death and thus become immortal. Of course, I've added to the chances of him finding out by now broadcasting the news on Osama's favourite radio station. He loves radio too, though hopefully he's become so incensed by me saying he's a mother lover that he won't be able to take the date in. That's the hope. And anyway, if he's got a time machine, he's an idiot. Why, he should just go back to the time of the Crusades, the nuclear bomb, and ensure that the Muslims win and invade Europe, and then the infidels would never even exist. Honestly, Osama, you are an idiot, mate.
That was then, this is now. My band would like to distance ourselves from any statements that Islamic terrorists might find insulting, and we'll provide you with Richard Herring's address if you spare the rest of us.
So, children's author Lewis Carroll died this week in 1898. He created some of the most enduring children's literary characters, including the Mad Hatter and the Jabberwocky. But using Wikipedia, I've discovered that according to a book published in 1996 by Richard Wallace, this is true, he was also Jack the Ripper. That's the claim. Wallace says if you make anagrams of some of Carroll's poems, you discover detailed confessions to the murders. So was Lewis Carroll actually Jack the Ripper? It's time for a That Was Then, This Is Now special investigation.
That was then, this is now, special investigation to determine whether Lewis Carroll, the creator of Alice in Wonderland, was, as some people have suggested, actually Jack the Ripper.
To give some expert analysis of these claims, I'm joined by top Scotland Yard criminologist Simon Gregory.
Hello.
And the biographer of Charles Dodgson, a.k.a. Lewis Carroll, Patricia Hopkins.
Lovely to be here.
Simon and Patricia, you've studied all the evidence. Do you think there's any way that Lewis Carroll was Jack the Ripper?
No.
No way.
Are you certain?
Yes.
Absolutely certain.
Yeah.
So there we have it. Lewis Carroll was not Jack the Ripper.
That was then. This is now. Special investigation to determine whether Lewis Carroll, the creator of Alice in Wonderland, was, as some people have suggested, actually Jack the Ripper. Apparently he wasn't.
Good to have cleared that up. So, on January the 16th, 1547, Ivan the Terrible was crowned the first Tsar of Russia.
Kneel before me, weaklings, for I am Ivan, Tsar of all the Russias, and I shall crush my enemies beneath my heel as a child crushes a beetle.
Oh, Ivan, you are terrible.
What?
You are, you're terrible, you are. Isn't he terrible?
Oh, you're right, he is. He's terrible.
How dare you use this mocking nasal tone? I shall have you pulled apart by savage horses.
Ooh, get her. Isn't she terrible?
They're always asking me, what's he like? What's Ivan like? Can I tell them? I'll say, he's terrible.
He's
a terror. He's terrible.
But he's lovely at the same time.
I know, but he is terrible.
Stop saying it like that. I am Ivan the Terrible, not
Ivan the Terrible.
Ooh.
Get him? He's terrible, isn't he?
Not like Peter.
Oh, no, Peter's great, isn't he? I love Peter. He is great.
And Catherine.
Oh, yeah, she's great too.
Yeah, not like this one. He's terrible, aren't you, darling?
Well, at least I'm not a virgin queen.
Well, half right. Get me.
Oh, you're terrible. You're the terrible one.
This week in 1892, an American magazine first published the rules to a new game that involved throwing a ball into an upturned peach basket attached to a board. The game, of course, went on to be called Peachy Hoop Toss. Before someone invented a better game, basketball. So to commemorate this historic sporting moment, please welcome the captain of the British basketball team, Colin Oxshott.
Hello. Hello, Richard.
Colin, I don't mean to be rude, but I can't help noticing that for a basketball player, you're really not very tall.
No, Richard.
In fact, you're actually quite abnormally small.
Well, Richard, it may surprise you, but it's actually a myth that you have to be tall to play basketball. In fact, we on the British team believe that being tall is, in fact, cheating.
Really?
Yeah, the BBC, that's the British Basketball Confederation, has actually brought in a rule saying that anyone over 6 feet should be disqualified.
I see. And have any other countries brought in this rule?
Not as yet, but we figure that if we set an example of British fair play, others will follow. And you know, all the current British team are under 6 feet. In fact, most of us are actually under 5 feet. I myself am roughly the size of a hobbit.
And do you win many of your games?
No, we lose them all. But we do it fairly. It's the British way, I like to think.
So what first attracted you to the sport of basketball, so famously and indeed almost exclusively played by very tall men?
Well, when I was a very young boy, I actually grew up in America and used to love watching the older boys playing a peachy hoop toss in the yard.
And they let you join in?
No, they didn't. They actually used me as a ball. But it was those early humiliating and quite physically painful experiences that spurred me on to dedicate my life to the hoop. Basketball became one of the two great passions in my life, the other, of course, being weightlifting.
I mean, you don't look strong enough.
Now, we in the British Weightlifting Federation believe that actually being able to lift weights is cheating.
Colin, thank you very much. So that's very nearly the end of the series. I've really just got one thing I need to do before we finish. Will you please welcome TV's Emma Kennedy?
Hello, it's me, TV's Emma Kennedy, the narrator of the seminal show, Animals Do the Craziest Things.
And do they? Do animals do the craziest things?
Yeah.
Well, judged by what yardstick? I mean, by the human mental yardstick, that seems inappropriate to judge an animal.
Right, well...
By human sanity and insanity.
Well,
they're animals, they just act... By instinct, surely.
There was, you say that, but there was a duck who was best friends with a pig.
Yeah, you're right, that's pretty crazy. So,
anyway, Richard, I didn't think I was doing anything on the show this week.
No, Emma, not in your condition. You need a rest, look after yourself. There's just something I needed to say to you before. Look, I know I haven't always been the best husband to you, and I know that I may occasionally have shouted at you, called you mawkish and... criticised you for being sickeningly repulsive and unattractive.
Yes.
But since you fell pregnant, I've been thinking, I'm 40 years old, you know, it's time maybe I became responsible. I've been holding out for Natasha Bedingfield, really. But, you know, I want to be realistic. And I think realistically, you, TV's Emma Kennedy, hideous as you are the best I'm going to get. So I want to make a proper go of it, Emma. You, me, our little miracle baby. I love you, TV's Emma Kennedy. I want to do it properly. Well, what do you say?
Do you know, if you'd said this just 6 weeks ago, you would have made me the happiest and most mawkish woman in the world. But the thing is that while I'm the best you can do, sadly, you're not the best I can do. And the fact of the matter is, Richard Keith, is you're not the father of the child.
What?
Christian is. We've been having a secret affair all series.
Christian, you and Christian, the timpani chimpanzee. Have you made a cuckold of me?
I was trying to warn you.
I love him, Richard Keith.
But you can't. Christian's already married with a child.
Well, that's the sweet part, because... I'm also in love with his wife.
What?
And she loves me too. And we're going to live together in a menage a trois.
What about me?
Well, you can stay living in your menage a un. I mean, also, Christian and I have been offered a TV contract to take over from Richard and Judy, so we're not going to be involved in this tawdry show anymore, and we're taking the band and all the other characters with us.
All the characters? What? Not, yeah. Not Prince Philip from Series 2?
Yes.
Yes, I'm going! Not Gonka Bajonka?
Yes, oh, no. Gonka Bajonka's coming with me, yes. And also, Richard, I've had some of your gametes tested, and... And I'm afraid to say that you are infertile, so that means you'll never have kids and you will die alone. Anyway, bye!
Oh, it's terrible. I've lost... kind of lost everything. Surely nothing else can go wrong. What is this? Some kind of time machine?
Oh, boy. Yes, that's right, Richard Herring. It is me, Osama bin Laden. You know, from off of the World Trade Center attacks and the Torabora Caves.
I remember you.
And you were right. I have not only have a time machine, I am a massive fan of everything on Radio 2. Having a very similar taste and political outlook to Matthew Wright. And I not only got the warning about visiting the 15th of January 1953, but also heard your idea about going back to the Crusades and helping the Saracens win. And I've just done that. I've changed the whole of world history. Western civilization never existed. I, Osama bin Laden, am king of the world, and it is all thanks to you.
Shoot, my mum's going to kill me. I'm having quite a day of it, aren't we? Well, maybe it's not such a bad thing. You know, at least the whole world now is united under one face, you know, not fighting and killing each other. And I think Islam's pretty cool on the whole. You know, aside from the covering up women thing, that seems a bit of a shame. You know, let them show a bit of, you know, for fun.
Well, and you know, what
the whole teddy bear naming policy is the rest of it's good. And on the plus side, it does mean that now there are no Christians.
I know. So, yeah. High five!
So though I may have destroyed my own culture, maybe in terms of the world, it's for the best.
Oh, also it means that none of the things that you talked about happening in history on a particular week actually happened. So all the work you put into the last three series was for nothing.
It's all right, I didn't work that hard, to be honest.
And I was being sarcastic. Plus, as a representative of the decadent, non-existent West, I will now have to have you put to death.
This day's just going from bad to worse, isn't it? I mean, fair enough, I'd do the same in your position. Well, looks like that's the end of That Was Then, This Is Now, and that actually it never even existed, that everything we talked about, it never happened, and what you're hearing now is probably never going to get weird. It's weird, isn't it? I can't quite work out what the time paradox. But thanks for listening, anyway.
Oh, can I do the credits? I'd get such a kick out of it.
All right, I suppose so. I was kind of hoping all the others would come back, you know, and rescue me and everything would be okay, but...
Yeah, no.
Looks like it's not going to... Life's not really like that, is it?
No.
Bit of a downbeat ending to it all, isn't it?
It's like The Sopranos.
Yeah, it is a bit. Yeah. Oh, well. Bye, then.
You'll have to do the music.
Oh, okay.
Yep, go on. One second. So, how are you all? Oh, here we go. That was then, this is now, which was written and performed by Richard Herring, TV's Emma Kennedy, Dan Tetzel, and Danny Robbins, with special guest me, Osama bin Laden. The songs and music were all done by Tambourine Tamarin, Christian Riley, and the King Zogs of Albania, who were Damien Caldwell, Martin Kane, and Charlie Round 30. It was produced by Liz Anstey and was a Senador production for BBC Radio 2. And due to the paradox of time travel, this programme never existed.
Hold on. No, if this programme never existed, then you never got the idea to travel back in time and win the Crusades. But, if you didn't do that, then the programme existed, so you did get the idea to travel back. Which means the programme never existed, so you never got the idea. Oh, wow, God, I can't keep... It's like two mind blows in 30 minutes. That's the most I've been blown in a small time period.
Will you stop, please? This is not impressive.
It's amazing.
This is a round of applause.